there's a movement happening. Some call it Reformation. Others call it Holy Discontent. We call it the Resistance. Traditions and harmful teachings have kept the bride captive for centuries. We will explore these systems and contrast them with God's design. Join us as we discuss God's patterns for life, ministry, and most importantly, His church. We will do this with scripture, testimony, music, and satire. We are resisting the system and embracing the design. We are the Resistance.
This episode was originally broadcast live on April 24th, 2015.
Welcome back to the Resistance Radio Show. I'm loving this new intro and outro music. Because
I'm pretty sure it's the Donkey Kong music.
It's not. It's Enter the Worship Circle.
No, we basically just get to dance every time
and
we come back on the air. I know.
Let's talk
about church stuff now.
Nothing. All right, so we just got done talking about pictures. Biblical pictures. Now we're going to talk about kind of descriptions. What did the church actually do? And we're going to go to the book of Acts, which is part of why I wanted to play that song. Why the book of Acts? One, because it's convenient, because it's one book. Two, I really like the book. Three, it's the beginning of the church, right after the Holy Spirit was poured out. It's a description of the church and what it did, as opposed to correction and instruction like in the epistles.
Yeah. Historical account.
Right. And all of these verses I'm about to read actually contain the word church. So,
church.
Quite literally what it did. I'm just going to kind of read these off here. You guys can comment if you would like. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and also 3, the church is persecuted. 9:31, at times it enjoys peace. It's being built up. Believers are going on in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They had both.
What happens when it's enjoying peace and it's falling apart?
I don't think that.
That's happening like right now.
I don't think it's enjoying peace.
In America.
Not real peace.
Yeah, I guess. They're getting persecuted.
Fleshly peace.
Exactly. 11:26, the church is taught by apostles. But
okay.
Not apostles that take apostles.
Well, of course not. Well, yeah, they are, actually. They're just, that's who they like.
No, in the book of Acts.
Oh, in the book of Acts,
right.
No.
That's rare. 12:1, no. 12:1, again, it's persecuted. 12:5, yeah. Their believers are imprisoned and engaging in intercessory prayer.
And in that, miracles are happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That the church doesn't really believe. When it happens.
Right. 13:1, the church contains people with spiritual gifts. Specifically, that verse mentions teachers and prophets, which is a good question. If we still have teachers, do we still have prophets? 14:23, it has elders.
We're non-profit, so.
Yeah, but we don't let them talk because they make us angry.
That's right. 14:23, it has elders appointed. Believers pray and fast together for guidance. 14:27, they testify the deeds of God, which is one of my favorite things ever. When
you wrote a song about it.
What was it?
Praise God.
Oh, I did.
You did.
It's pretty much what the Psalms are about. I mean, holy cow.
Yeah. And saying, hey, God's
holy
doing
cow.
This. He's done it in me. I see it doing it around me. And that's what he does. And they come together. It's really encouraging. It's awesome. 15:3, it sends out apostles.
They still do that today.
And 15:4, it receives them.
Oh, I was going to say, they kick out apostles.
No, you have to receive them too.
The difference between sending out and kicking out.
And 20:28, overseers are appointed to shepherd the church.
Who are they appointed by, Jason?
I'd have to look it up. Probably apostles.
Apostles.
Yeah, apostles.
So, some questions. Does this description that we just read in Acts, all these verses that say the church was involved in these things, does it reflect your experience of church or your faith?
Dun, dun, dun.
Because it should.
Yes. So, now we've looked at pictures, we looked at some descriptions, so now we're going to try to make a new definition. As I said earlier, the instruction in church has way more to do with how you're living your life and treating people than any sort of idea of an order of a service in a building. So my new definition of church is this. It's mine, but it's based off scripture. It's humanity ordered under Christ. It's humans living the way we were designed to live. It's living in the kingdom. Like we read in that one verse, it's coming out of darkness and into light. It's sharing life together. You really can't get through Acts and not see that. I mean, they're making sure nobody has need. They're selling their stuff. They're taking care of each other. They're working together.
Well, and
they're traveling, all this stuff.
Yeah, and as you know, Ananias and Sapphira kept back some of their life, some of
yes,
their money.
Did.
God took very bold action and said, "Nope, you're just going to die."
And that's a big deal because relationship, true, like God-designed relationship costs you. And when whatever you withhold, you're telling somebody, no, you don't get that from me. You don't get me.
Right.
Which and is I not think, what God says.
I think it's pretty interesting because after that passage, it says that it brought fear on the whole congregation. It brought fear on all the surrounding people of God.
They realized that they had to be for real.
Right. So God's like, yeah, this is for real, people. Like,
that'll slow down your church growth when people start falling over dead.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Imagine if everybody in
our, I run my business with dead people.
Churches today got struck down dead for withholding from God.
Oh my god.
A bunch of people would go to jail.
Or to the graveyard. Like,
where's the evidence? I don't see any evidence.
So it's people walking with God, which is what happened in the beginning, right? He created the world. He said it was good. He was walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. They knew him. They talked with him. They saw him. You know, it was this really good, close relationship, and people weren't just scratching and scraping and hurting each other. It was this really nice closeness with God, and then they were like, no, I think I'm going to do my own thing, and they lost it all. But then Jesus was like, hey, I'm coming to bring the real deal back. Here it is. Here's the Spirit.
That's the real deal.
Yeah. And with speaking of the Spirit, it's walking in the Spirit, which is not walking in the flesh.
That's walking in the presence of God.
Yes.
Yeah, I think one of the cool things that you always hit on, Jason, is like the believers like shared amongst themselves so that nobody had need. And that's not just, in my eyes, it's not just like physical things.
Right.
It's like, you know, if they had emotional needs or whatever it was, you know, it's like they were there for each other. They had each other's backs.
It says, lay down your life for your friend, and which means it costs you your life. You have to sacrifice you to make sure everyone else is being cared for.
Right.
And not just with cash, but with yourself, with what's inside you.
Right.
So even in this new kind of much bigger picture definition of like humanity and in Christ, there is an aspect of coming together, of gathering. And one of the most appropriate definitions based on what Ecclesia meant before Christ's followers began using it would be the assembly of the believers. So we're going to, if we have time, we're going to start to touch on that. But before we do, I wanted to talk about one of my favorite words in all of Scripture.
Community.
No.
Dang it.
What is it, Jason? Tell us.
It is homothymidon.
Oh.
Right.
Wait, what's
I never
that?
Saw that in Scripture before.
It's there, I promise.
Do they translate it as something else, maybe?
Yes, they do.
What do they do that with?
One accord.
Whoa, one accord.
That's right.
So they all drove Hondas.
I was hoping somebody would use that joke. I almost did, but I didn't even have to.
It's an old man joke, so you know I'm going to be the guy to do it.
I know. So it says, Scripture says, you know, they're one mind or one accord. And like I said, that's whenever you see those, usually the word they're translating is homothymidon, which is from homo or homau, whatever, meaning together, and thymos meaning passion, angry, heat, glow, ardor, or wine of passion.
Ooh. So together with passion.
So it could also mean... kind of metaphorically, to rush along in unison, such as music or musical notes, which is another really great picture to think
of
that.
Because it has to be, if it's not working together,
right?
Then it's gibberish.
Yes, and it's rushing along, which I just love. Like, because that word, there's so much power in it. There's movement in it, even though it's just talking about one passion, essentially, but it's this rushing along together. The same word, interestingly, is used to describe crowds reacting to this new church. Usually they're reacting in anger, but also sometimes in awe. It is used 5 times in the book of Acts to describe the church meeting, praying, and praising together. And I'm going to read a verse not from Acts, it's in Romans, that to me is a really good way to flesh this out. It's Romans 15:5-6. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord, homothymidon, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I just thought homothymidon was like a close relative of Leviathan.
No, yeah, it's not even close.
I thought of like a woolly
that
mammoth.
Idea of community then mm-hmm. has to be formed in Christ.
Yes.
So unbelievers cannot have homothymidon.
Correct.
With believers.
Right. They don't have one passion.
Right. So in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, which shows you that the Father and the Son are the foundation or the formation of community or fellowship. You can't have it without them. You can have a fake thing of it, but you can't have the real thing unless they're in the midst of that.
Yeah, you can have shared interests, you can have shared activities, you can like people, but it's not God's community. It's not this homothymbodon, this shared passion, shared life.
And that fellowship is koinonia in the Greek, is what they're talking
about. What comes to mind is John 17. It's like this whole chapter of Jesus saying, I'm one with you, Father, and now we're going to be in them, just as you were in me, and all this, and it starts with, obviously, Jesus and the Father.
And it's a unity that comes from passion and from the Spirit and not from you all show up to the same building at the same time, or you wear all the same T-shirts, or you have some domineering leader, or you said all the same creed. You know, it's this Holy Spirit moving through you and uniting you.
Well,
and
that idea of koinonia is intimacy.
Yeah.
So you can't – you may think you're having fellowship at a potluck, but if there's no intimacy between you and the participants that are there, which really isn't formed over a meal. It can be enjoyed at a meal, but without the intimacy of the fellowship that's built through the Spirit because you're all partaking in Christ – You're experiencing something else. So whatever you thought you were experiencing is not biblical koinonia or homothymedon.
Yeah, and what I've been seeing is that community has been, to me, at the same time exalted and also cheapened. Like it's almost been idolized, but it's this thing that's not real community. It's this cheap, disposable, surface level, that's all good.
Right, because you have all the unbelievers that are gathered together with you, so therefore you can't have the real thing, and everybody knows that they're missing it because I think God puts that desire for community in us.
Right.
So therefore, we have to strive for that.
So they try to have community in all these fake ways, like, let's all go hang out at the pub, or let's all go on a camping trip.
Or take our teens down to the beach in the summer.
Which, by the way, all of those things can have community. Yes. You can experience community in those things.
They don't cause it.
But only if you have the common bond of your passion for Christ to begin with, because it's the homothymedon explains it's the passion of moving in the same direction in unity that causes you to have that community to begin with.
Yes. Dude, so I have a quote.
Yes, you do.
A guy who lived in mid 20th century, right? Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Yeah.
And Dietrich Bonhoeffer had some interesting things to say about community and also what we've touched on in previous radio shows about God building the church and the church not building the church. And here it is. Quote, "Those who love their dream of a Christian community more than they love the Christian community itself become destroyers of that Christian community, even though their personal intentions may be ever so honest, earnest, and sacrificial." So God hates this wishful dreaming because it makes the dreamer proud and pretentious. Those who dream of this idolized community demand that it be fulfilled by God, by others, and by themselves. They enter the community of Christians with their demands set up by their own law and judge one another and God accordingly. So it's like a filter. It is not we who build. Christ builds the church. Whoever is mindful to build the church is surely well on the way to destroying it, for he will build the temple to idols without wishing or knowing it. We must confess that he builds. We must proclaim that he builds. We must pray to him, and he will build. We do not know his plan. We cannot see whether he is building or pulling down. It may be that the times which by human standards are the times of collapse are for him the great times of construction. It may be that the times from a human point are great times for the church, are times when it's pulled down. It is a great comfort which Jesus gives to his church. You confess, preach, bear witness to me, and I alone will build where it pleases me. Do not meddle in what is not your providence. Do what is given to you, and do it well, and you will have done enough. Live together in the forgiveness of your sins. Forgive each other every day from the bottom of your hearts. End quote.
Wow.
Pretty powerful.
We have a song. Can we do a song?
You can do a song.
We will do a song.
We can skip a commercial break and you can do a song. Or we can do a commercial break and then do a song.
We do a song, then a commercial break?
We can do that. We can do whatever we want.
Let's do a song, then commercial break.
Do that.
All right. This next song is...
Man, are we messing up the board tonight or what? Because she's like in there. I see her pushing buttons all over. It's like, we're going to do the commercial.
She's
smiling.
We're going
to do the song.
Okay. This next song is... It's by Enter the Worship Circle. It's called Bright and Beautiful.
I like it.
And it's about the family of God.
Do it.
Bright and beautiful is your family, oh God. Bright and beautiful is your family, oh God. Where love and faithfulness bind together, amen. righteousness falls in love with peace again. The Father gathers all his children, brothers and sisters holding on, mothers take care of babies, and orphans find adopting love. Wild and wonderful is your family, oh God, where love and faithfulness bind together, amen, and righteousness falls in love with peace again. Father gathers all his children, brothers and sisters holding on, mothers take care of babies, orphans find adopting love. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth. Righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good. Where love and faithfulness bind together, amen. And righteousness falls in love with peace again. Father gathers all his children, brothers and sisters holding on, mothers take care of babies, and orphans find adopting love.
Like fake shaking all my maracas and stuff.
I just really hope Josie's at home dancing.
She probably,
you know,
is.
She is.
You know,
she usually is.
Yeah.
Even if there's not music playing.
Josie, if you're listening, do some ballerina dancing.
She's cray.
Yeah. Mina.
All right. So we're talking about what the Bible says the church is, not what Webster says the church is, not what we say the church.
Get
is.
Get out of here, Webster.
Webster don't even know. So let's talk more about what the church is.
We will. So we've been talking about these much bigger picture things, pictures from Scripture, descriptions in Scripture, homothymedon, and now we're going to talk a little bit more about the gathering of believers. Because really, in that word ecclesia, while the Bible uses that word numerous times to not mean strictly an assembly of believers, it does, by its previous Greek context, mean an assembly. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We talked already about this idea of gifts, that the church is the body of Christ with parts working in different functions.
Spiritual gifts.
Yes, sorry, spiritual gifts.
Let's make clear, spiritual gifts.
Spiritual gifts, which where do they come from?
They come from the Spirit of God.
So you don't have them if you don't have the Holy Spirit.
That is correct. What?
Right. So, and they are God's grace on us. They are an essential part of how God made you. And how he designed his church to function. And that's another thing that I like is that it's not necessarily, it's not to put you where your value comes in a task that you perform, because your spiritual gift is part of you. It's part of your creation. It's part of this new existence that you get that's this crazy gift from God. It's His grace, and so it's your identity, but not in a way that you have to perform tasks well. You know, it's not like an expectation.
Well, no, because tasks are not spiritual gifts.
Right.
Oriented. Gifts are supernatural, and they perform supernatural things in us. You know, it's the question I always like to ask people is, if you're not working in your spiritual gift, what are you working in?
Right.
Because there's really only one other option.
It has to be the flesh.
It is. It's either spirit or flesh.
Why isn't there door number three?
Everybody wants door number three, and they try to fabricate it, but this is not let's make a deal. This is the way God operates.
Oh, yikes.
So, Jason, when you were just talking about that, I basically saw in my head this picture of this body, and then the spiritual gifts are the muscles, and they're necessary.
Gives it movement, yeah.
Yeah, they're necessary for the body to function correctly, and if you use your gift and exercise your gift, it gets stronger. And if you don't, so,
you're thinking field of dry bones.
Where do you get your commands for your muscles?
From the head.
From the head.
See, and I'm thinking of the vision of dry bones that couldn't function and couldn't do anything, and then God put sinew on them, and they started to came to life. So it's the spiritual gift that gives you life and gives you intimacy with God. And without that spiritual gift functioning, you're always going to lack intimacy with God.
I wanted to read a verse.
Go ahead.
Colossians 3, 14 through 7. Actually, I'm going to start a little before 14 and 12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. So again, like I said, it's so much of this instruction is on how you live and love each other. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father.
So what happens when a pastor is giving his sermon? He's, you know, this is televised. And somebody else wants to teach and admonish the pastor.
No.
That's exactly what we're talking about. Is that what you find in Scripture is this really great picture that stresses love and forgiveness and life and talks about numerous people bringing things, and this one specifically talking about songs, which is really crazy, about teaching and admonishing through songs.
Yeah.
We see that all the time.
Yeah.
In our gathering, that happens a lot.
It's a very powerful gift.
When I first saw that, I was kind of blown away because my context at the time was like, well, generally Christian songs are like, God, you're so great. You're really awesome.
Right, and it was to bring people to an emotional response, and they call that worship, and that's just it's a shallow imitation.
That means you didn't. That means you didn't listen to enough Supertones growing up.
that's possible.
And it's like you can teach with them too, which is really great. 1 Corinthians 12. I'm not going to read that the whole thing. All about a body, and then goes on all about love
and gifts, spiritual gifts,
and
two categories of gifts: manifestation gifts and ministry gifts.
Oh goodness, that's probably a whole another show.
It is. We got a core value of spiritual gifts. We'll have to do a whole show on. Then that should stir the pot a little bit more.
So Romans, I want to read one more verse before we move on. Romans 12, 4 through 8. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Nowhere in there do you get this idea that there's one man in charge calling the shots. And
except Jesus.
The pastor is the only one with spiritual gifts.
Since we have gifts that differ, this is great. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly.
Whoa.
If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. So here it is. He's like lining out all these other gifts and giving instruction to them and encouragement to them. If service, in his serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
He who gives? What do you mean, he who gives? Doesn't everybody have to give?
I think some people are specifically gifted in giving. It's part of their passion.
They're forgiving.
Okay.
It's more fruitful. I don't know.
I just want to say to anybody listening that if you haven't experienced a gathering where everyone is encouraged and facilitated to operate in their spiritual gift for the betterment of the body, then you're missing out You need to find that place. You need to experience that place. And I think once you do that, you will not want to go back to the other place.
For reals.
Yes. So I'm going to touch on one more thing.
Good, before then we'll go to a break.
Yeah, that's fine. Then we're going to talk about what does it mean for you. But first, I want to talk about love, which we've already talked about. Love is costly. There's no two ways about it. If it's not costly, it's not love. It's just association. The modern church structure, this service that you go to that's an hour a week or 45 minutes or 2 hours or whatever it is, and you come and you sit down and you watch a band do some songs, you watch a speaker speak some words.
Touch your neighbor.
Right.
Something like that.
It basically has no cause or need.
Peace, brother.
Or very little opportunity for true costly love. Not that people can't take it upon themselves and live their life that way, but if you just look at that context, you can go in, you can leave, you can go in and out all week long if you wanted to.
Or like people we know, you can go in and get kicked out or right. asked to leave because of how you look or how you dress.
Right. And again, like I've already mentioned, the same verses that talk about gifts, which maybe I didn't mention that. The same verses that talk about gifts talk about love. You can look them up, Ephesians 4, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and then 13. And there's other ones, but I think it's no mistake.
People don't realize, I guess they don't, because it's taken so many times out of context
right.
to prove the love chapter, mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 13, is sandwiched between the church functioning
yes.
chapters of 1 right. Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. It's like it's the middle of the Oreo cookie. You can't have the Oreo unless you have the love in the middle.
That's right. And you know the
hey, let's
middle.
Do, are you ready to do a break?
Yep.
All right, let's go to a commercial break, and then we'll come back, and we'll have a little bit of time to wrap this up. Questions threaten the perception of a beneficial system, a pyramid scheme with its cogs and its pistons, mechanization of man, making more and more live in the miserable existence.
Welcome back to the Resistance Radio Show. I think I started that too soon.
No, you didn't.
I was drum crazy.
All right, let's go, Jason. Get on him.
Okay, so we've spent the last three shows exposing problems and also going to scripture and statistics to explore those problems. And we did that so we can tear down so that we can now build up. So what do you do now if you find yourself relating to what we're saying or at least unable to refute it? First of all, it's between you and God. You don't answer to yes. us. You don't answer to your pastor. You don't answer to your parents. You answer to God.
You will stand before Jesus and give an account for everything you've done.
Also, you can't teach something you don't know. You have to realize that. You can't teach something you don't know, and you don't know what you don't do.
You might need to be discipled.
Right.
By someone who does know.
Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite and teach stuff that you're not actually doing.
No hippos.
Your authority, like Jesus, comes from the fact that you're doing what you're teaching.
By your obedience. If you're obeying Scripture, that's where your authority
is. Right. Do not sit around complaining and pointing fingers. Instead, fall on your face before God. Seek to have a contrite heart. Don't assume that since you changed location or stopped doing certain things that you are now walking in freedom and the power of the Holy Spirit. This isn't about right answers. It's about living with God and His designs. So the other point that I started to go through that I didn't is don't try to fix it from within. You can't lead people out of what you're in. You can't preach against something you're submitting to, engaging in, and validating by your continued adherence.
Wow. Okay, so if you want to fix your church from within, here's a small sample of things that an existing modern American church would have to quit doing in order to apply what we're teaching. Okay, they either have to stop doing these things or start doing these things in order to follow Scripture. First, they'd have to dissolve their corporation. Second, they would have to leave any denominational affiliation because denominations are not in Scripture. Denominations are division. That's why they're there, is to define and divide over what they do or what they believe, and that is not biblical.
But my way is right.
Doesn't matter. There's 40,000 right ways today. That's what's confusing non-believers. Non-believers look at the denominational divisions, and they say, who in the world, they must all be wrong. So what are we doing? But 40,000 denominations, we're telling them that any way gets you to heaven. That's what we're doing. And then we complain when they believe that. Right? Three, remove your paid pastoral staff. Four, no longer allow unbelievers to enter into your worship gathering.
Whoa.
Five, eliminate any unbiblical position from your staff, such as worship leader, etc. And I just put etc. because there's so many. I mean, you got church administration pastors and you got assimilation pastors. I mean, we're just making stuff up and calling it a pastor. If it's a position in the church, it could be labeled tech pastor. It could be labeled, you know, social media minister.
And they do.
Whatever. It's like crazy. It's like, no, that's not what a pastor is. It's not an office that
I'm
you put a name on.
I'm the burger-eating pastor.
Yeah, it is.
That's what
you're
I do.
You're not getting a burger. The cafe will be closed by the time we get
whatever.
There.
DVD of my burger.
Number five. You guys are just out of control. Stop segregating by age.
Don't do
yes,
it.
Yes, please.
The church is supposed to represent the family, and I don't think that everybody takes their two-year-olds and puts them in one room for the day and their five-year-olds in another and their teenagers in another and separate them out for all of their time together. They usually come together as a family and try and share meals and interact with each other, and that's what we should be doing in the church also. Number seven, eliminate outreach events. No such thing in Scripture. I'm sorry, when Jesus fed the 5,000, it was not an outreach event.
Nope.
He was walking around doing ministry, healing people, and all of a sudden they were hungry. Number eight, stop inviting people to church or advertising.
Don't do it.
Number nine, allow everyone to speak in the assembly. Now remember that everyone means they're only believers there.
Yes.
If the Holy Spirit is in them and they have a gift from God and God prompts them to speak, you should listen.
Do it.
No matter what you think. And then the last one is have all your members submit to being discipled by someone because the Great Commission really means it.
Resistance is hosted by Dr. Terry Goodwin, Mark Sanford, Jason Callahan, and Mark Goodwin. Our theme music is The Resistance by Josh Carrolls and is licensed by Marmoset Music. This episode of The Resistance Radio Show was originally broadcast live on KXEN 1010 AM in St. Louis, Missouri.
Thank you for being a part of The Resistance. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or directly from our feed at theresistanceradioshow.wordpress.com. Find us on Twitter at Disciple Driven or on Facebook at facebook.com/discipledrivenchurch or on our website at discipledrivenchurch.org. To learn more about our missionary work in the inner cities of America, please visit sunministries.org. You can email us directly at terry@discipledrivenchurch.org.